Lesson 5. Construction and maintenance of public buildings and spaces in mass displacement contexts, including for inclusivity and flexibility. This lesson aims to cover mainly learning objective 3 for this course, to appreciate the legal and policy frameworks that apply to mass displacement with specific reference to construction and facilities management of the built environment. It partly covers learning objective 1. To understand how construction and facilities management decisions and activities affect mass displacement impacts on the built environment and enhance, constrain, integration and social cohesion. And also partly learning objective 2, to communicate and discuss issues using appropriate terminology relating to mass displacement with specific reference to construction and facilities management of the built environment. This lesson provides learners with requisite knowledge to successfully adapt public buildings and spaces into temporary dwellings for displaced people during the emergency response to the occurrence of a disaster. Firstly, it gives an overview of public buildings and spaces and their relevance in the process of recovery from mass displacement. Public buildings are all non-residential buildings which could be occupied by a governmental body or provide services for the public. They are an important part of a healthy, strong, and vibrant community. They are both socially and economically essential components for the community. Examples of public buildings are community centers, town halls, hotels, gymnasiums, churches and mosques, warehouses, unfinished buildings, disused factories, and so on. Public spaces are places which are generally open and accessible to people, such as roads, pavement, public squares, green areas, parks, beaches, and so forth. Public buildings and spaces foster a sense of civic optimism, thereby enhancing the inclusivity and flexibility required for social cohesion, firstly, by encouraging interaction between the displaced persons and their host community. Secondly, promoting cultural diversification. Thirdly, dispelling negative stereotypes and personal biases about different groups, especially displaced persons. And fourthly, promoting inclusive community engagement. Public buildings are adapted and used as short-term shelters or dwelling homes, which are referred to as collective centers for the displaced. Collective centers are pre-existing buildings and structures where large groups of displaced people can find shelter for a short time while durable solutions are pursued. Hence, originally, they should be designed and constructed with flexibility in mind for this plurality of purpose in the early stages of planning. They are mostly used in the case of internal displacement and not cross-border or international displacement, but can also be used to host the internationally displaced persons and homeless people within the locality when necessary. It is easier to adapt them into dwelling places quickly and sometimes without too much effort because the infrastructure that supports living, such as electricity, water, and sewage, are already present in public buildings. Public buildings turned collective centers or dwelling homes are not designed originally for accommodation because they have been constructed before the displacement. Therefore, they should be considered as a last resort when acquiring housing for displaced populations. Secondly, the lesson examines the rehabilitation of public buildings and spaces for use during mass displacement. The rehabilitation of public buildings and infrastructure in the context of mass displacement requires careful consideration. It is not recommended to build or renovate high-risk areas for important structures such as hospitals or emergency evacuation shelters, although some reconstruction operations can be carried out if unavoidable. Consequently, for this to be done, a thorough assessment or feasibility study must be conducted to determine the conditions of the building and for how long it may be used. Although determining whether it will return to its previous use when no longer in use as a collective center is important before assigning it as one. Provision of basic services should be facilitated, managed, and maintained from inception throughout the period of use as shelters for people who are displaced. Governments are usually responsible for public buildings used as collection centers, but they work hand in hand with other stakeholders. It is necessary to rehabilitate public buildings before using them as collective centers to provide a safe environment with dignity to persons of concern, while durable solutions are pursued to safeguard social rights such as adequate shelter, water and sanitation of the displaced persons, to provide mechanisms to assess services for displaced persons with specific needs, and to provide privacy in terms of lockable personal spaces to increase personal safety, independence, and improve the adequacy of the accommodation. Next, the lesson explores adaptation of public housing as dwelling homes for displaced people, defining adaptation and factors that should be considered before any public building or space is used for shelter or housing for the displaced. These factors include the site's specific risks, such as floods and storms, tidal waves and landslides, earthquakes, etc. Implementation of soil compaction and slope stabilization to enable a comprehensive and practical preparation plan and reduce the risk to sites and disaster vulnerable communities. A thorough understanding of the risk-related organization of land use in society. For example, in Indonesia, detailed community maps have been used around Mount Merapi to provide information on the rehabilitation of public buildings during mass disruptions. In addition, the three major forms of adaptation, that is, conversion, extension, and refurbishment, together with the benefits of adapting public housing as dwellings instead of building new houses and risks of not doing so. Limiting housing costs for the displaced provides families with more resources to cover other costs, such as food, medical care, childcare, and transportation during mass disruptions. Risks such as safety and security are very crucial issues in collective centers because a high number of people are being sheltered and there could be some living with psychosocial problems. Possible regular occurrence of drug abuse, sexual or gender-based violence. Friction between or within families, clans or ethnic groups. Stress and tension, anxiety and depression. Vulnerability of occupiers, especially the special needs group, to attack. Environmental problems, often related to water supply, sanitation, and solid waste treatment. Quick deterioration of supporting infrastructure, such as sanitation, electricity, and water. Environmental pollution can cause serious health problems for residents and those living nearby. And recurring natural disasters, such as floods, etc. Furthermore, requisite knowledge and skills required for adapting public buildings to dwelling homes or housing are mentioned. Understanding the processes of disaster management is imperative for construction professionals' involvement in mass displacement alleviation or rebuilding after displacement. Increased competency in emergency preparedness, ability to develop emergency response management programs to be prepared for unexpected events or disasters such as pandemics, tsunamis, wildfires, etc. Being adequately equipped with the knowledge and skills of the four phases of disaster risk or emergency response management will help in alleviating mass displacement when it occurs.